Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 424, Defective Pikachu. I'm Pika Pika, Pika Pika Pika.
I'm Fuzzwolf, Fuzz Fuzz, Fuzz 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 Fuzz.
I can't think of anything clever. I'm Shiva.
Mow, 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 mow.
Mow, mow, mow.
So Savard's new, we've determined that Fennecs are actually defective Pikachus.
Yep. You know, we, instead of having the little narrow ears that focus our energy out and the little patches on our cheek, we have the huge ears. And we have to spend the energy by running around and screaming.
Yeah.
If you hear any random screams during the episode, it's because I had to burn something off before I exploded.
Right.
Boy, it's been a hell of a week. Just like every week, really.
Really, yeah.
But we're here. We're queer. They can't stop us yet.
Yeah.
And
but they're going to try.
We've seen some Detective Pikachus, and we've got some defective government.
Yeah.
And some maybe defective conventions. We might have to discuss that to you. We've got topics, tizopics. But
did you say tizopics?
I did. And so
you're way too white to pull
that. I know. I am extremely white. But I will say this week I got some good health news that for a 35-year-old dude, my blood counts and everything are extremely normal.
That's
the only thing of me that is extremely normal, but my blood counts are good.
Great.
My HDL was a hair under normal range.
See, like my last lab reports were like, well, Mr. Wolf, normally blood is a liquid.
Yours is more of a viscous solid.
It's sort of gelatinous. It's
barbecue sauce.
It's like Jell-O.
I made the joke that all my red blood cells just have frowny faces on them.
I saw that. That was cute. All your blood cells are like this.
But yeah, I had to go jump through a bunch of hoops so I could get my asthma medication renewed. Because I've had two doctors retire on me. And both of them had been in the business for like 20, 30 years. So, you know, whatever. They had earned their rest. But I had to go to yet another clinic, fill out more new patient information. Mm. They're like, oh, well, you know, this is a new patient. We got to do blood draws. We got to do this, that, and the other. So it was like $120 at the doctor's office.
Yeah.
So I could get my asthma meds that I've been taking for the past ever. You know, just in case that my body physiology has suddenly changed and I don't need asthma medication anymore.
I mean, you might have been an alien this whole time and become activated without knowing it, and now you have a completely different biology.
God, I wish.
And you're like, well, your blood is green and your cum is blue.
Well, I mean, my mom always told me that she found me as an egg under a rock when I was a baby.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Mount Shasta sightings in Washington State were 1 year to the day before I was born. So
is
the
that
joke
when you're
was,
birthed from a Shasta soda can?
Yes. Okay. It was Shasta Mountain. That's where they get all the Shasta soda. It's not actually produced by Coca-Cola.
Comes out of the ground carbonated.
Yeah, it comes out of the ground flavored, too. So, you know, we think that
it's next to a lemon-lime grove.
Yeah.
And that seeps into an underground spring, which is carbonated by a nearby volcano.
You figured it out. And so my mom always told me as a kid that, you know, she found me as an egg under a rock and that I was an alien. So finally, I'm free. You know, I can finally go to the one place that hasn't been yet corrupted by capitalism.
Space!
So
I'm just going to shake my head at you.
Yep, Shiva shakes her head and sucks on her hookah.
Hey, Savern.
What up?
Turn on the iPod.
Oh, okay. Let's do that, because, boop, I have hit the button, Fuzz.
Yay!
The red light is on.
Yay!
So, for a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, we have this old-ass Belkin recorder set up. It still works, but it uses the old 30-pin iPods as its, like, secondary recording. So we have Fuzz's old 160-gig iPod, like, third or fourth gen.
Yeah.
With
fourth.
physical buttons.
It's seen some
physical,
shit.
Like the physical drive, the hard drive.
The hard drive, yeah.
But it works perfectly fine, and the only thing on it really is...
us.
Just us. So if this iPod ever goes missing, they will have someone will have an archive of a ton of our audio in its raw, unedited form. You'll hear an extra 15 minutes of ums, ahs, and repeated phrases, and us going, "Oh fuck, let me rephrase that."
I thought you were going to say, if this iPod ever goes missing, we're fucked, and I was going to be like, "Oh, I'll just bring over one of the 3 or 4 other ones that I have at my house."
Well, Panther and I still have our 120 gigs.
Yeah.
We've got, and they still work too, so.
Yep.
They work pretty good.
Because we all listen to podcasts and music on our phones now.
Yeah.
They never had a chance to die.
Yep. Well, what's cool, I actually saw this on the net, on Twitter. There's an app, a music app for a music game that I think I saw
Truffle Snuffle. Oh, the one that can take any YouTube video and turn it into a rhythm game?
They also have another one that's like the version before that called Beat MP3.
Uh-huh.
And it draws from all the music on your phone.
Oh.
So all the weird eclectic music I've got on my phone, you can play rhythm games to it.
Nice.
And it's like, it's free and there's show ads, or you can pay them $3. And I was like, well, this is fun. I'm going to just pay you $3 so I don't have to – I don't run out of credits if I'm like stuck on a somewhere and play a bunch of songs.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. And yeah, it's Beat MP3 for YouTube is the name of the other one.
Yeah.
I haven't really messed with it some, but you can put any YouTube video up to a certain length.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm going to play a song to ContraPoint's discussion on the alt-right. And then – seamlessly got it into like in Jim Sterling telling us about how AAA video games are bad. Anyways, yeah, those are good things for this week, because there's lots of bad things. And we'll just get sort of to it. Though we did have FWA last week. Did that go okay for Pieran and Co? Because that's a hell of a drive.
Yeah, it went okay. I haven't really gotten a full breakdown from Tieran and Zia yet on it. Sales were okay. They were up by like $500 over last year. So not up a lot, but, you know, it's definitely a decent amount of dealing. We brought Pled to your books.
I think that we have, Regal has us a con report.
Yep, I perused it.
Wait, what?
I read it already.
Oh, no, I was looking at, we had another Twitter support email that was like, friendly reminder. I'm like, oh, fuck, what? But they...
I guess those were
that was just sort of a
passing it a night. Like,
yeah,
it's been resolved.
It's been resolved. We have access to the the podcast account now.
Yay!
We've been freed from the sin bin. But it was just like, hey, did you have any other questions? And if not, just disregard this email. So thankfully, Twitter has freed us from the podcast, but... Mm-hmm. Man, they've been nuking accounts left and right. Edge Destroy's got his account nuked.
No, really?
They killed Sloth Mom's account for like 12 hours. Kate Leth's partner lost their account briefly until she wielded the power of a checkmark to get everybody to tell Twitter support to get their shit together and unban her, unban them.
Yeah.
And they succeeded.
Good, good.
But... like, I retweeted a thing today where it had a watermark of the original creator on it. And I tried to tag them, and the account had been deleted.
Aww.
And it was like a thing about, you know, the only time a man has a right to say anything about the person's pregnancy is when it's theirs. And it was like a little trans pride flag on the person's shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, Twitter has been whacking furries left and right. It's been not good. Well, I mean, as we have said many times, Twitter is not good. But it's been worse the last little bit.
Yeah.
I wonder if people are just going through and reporting them or what.
Well, I mean, that's what happened. There was somebody else that got bopped for saying fire turfs into the sun, which matches, you know, one that Ian Leo got bopped for. And then I got one like months ago for it. Where I was said, like, be good, have fun, fire turfs into the sun, which is very clearly a very accurate thing that I can totally carry out. My threat of violence against turfs by putting them on a rocket and shooting them into space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't need to shoot them into the sun. They just need to go into space and the rest, you know, handles itself. But yeah, Twitter, like between report brigading and just general support headassery, this last week has seen quite a few people that I follow get temped or, you know, shut down for 12 hours. Like, I mean, they got Sonic Fox for 12 hours over his thing after they got overloaded. Mm-hmm. Like, the algorithm can be gamed. You know, basically, they get these report bots going, mm-hmm. and if it gets enough reports, their algorithm goes, oh, well, clearly this must be bad, and knocks you out for 12 hours. It's wild. It's bad, but also wild. So, how have you guys been?
Not too bad, honestly. It's been kind of a quiet week. Guild wrapped up raiding for next couple months since we've kind of hit the end of the content. We didn't kill one boss in Heroic, but that's because, well, it's ridiculously overtuned for our size group. We don't run the full 25, and it's really badly tuned for smaller groups.
Oh, yeah.
So we gave up on it for now. Come back after, before the next raid drops. But after we've gotten some gear, you know, just people putter around, do their shit. We'll make a stab at killing that boss before the next tier drops. But we've got, like, hopefully about 2 months of break.
That's fun.
I hope. I need a break. Everybody was at the fuck I need a break stage. It's like,
ah, why can't we defeat Jaina? Why does she suck so hard?
No, it wasn't Jaina.
Oh.
So they had the raid with Jaina, and then they put out a little two-man raid where, you know, we one-shot the first boss, and that was fine, but we hit the second one, we just kept hitting a wall. I mean, it kind of goes nuts at, like, the 40% mark, mm-hmm. and we blow all of our three-minute cooldowns, we do lust, and we come out of that, and we've barely made a scratch on him. He's really chunky.
Okay, so I didn't know about that they'd put anything else out. I've been very far away from WoW. I did see the most recent cinematic where Thrall is shirtless.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I'm super far divorced from WoW right now.
Yeah, I know, but we're still got the group. If it ever comes down to our guild breaking, we'll probably be done too. But we're still playing with the same 15 group. Plus people, 15 to 20 people that we've been playing with for heading for 7 years. So it's kind of hard to put down.
Yeah.
Until everybody just calls us and says, okay, I'm done with WoW, we'll probably keep going. But once that breaks, we're...
I'm tired of being nerfed constantly. Why do you do this to me? The ferals cry in the corner as the shaman aren't there because they're not raid viable.
Yeah, but if they're not raid viable in Alabama, you still have to carry them to full term.
Yeah, and that's really bad. I mean, like, and if your ghost wolf gets ectopic, you know, you have your, you know, the tool wolves inside you and they make a ghost wolf, but it isn't quite right. Bad things happen. This is a really awkward way to transition to that topic, Fuzz, but good job.
No shit. Wow, right into, you know.
Yeah, there we go. The thing about wolves is we can easily be reimplanted in the anus.
Yes. On Snouset Online, the most recent joke has been variations upon that there are two wolves inside you.
Yeah.
And mine was there are two wolves inside you. They high five as they tag team you.
Yeah.
Or there's two wolves inside you, but they have to take turns because they ain't that stretchy. You know, stuff like that. There are two wolves inside you. One is gay. The other is gay.
You are gay.
Yeah. But in far less amusing terms, it's a bad time to be a woman. Mm-hmm. Not that the past has really been a great time at any point to really be a woman.
But these whole bills that they're trying to basically push through to make it go up to, you know, Supreme Court, they're all mm-hmm. just tailored to go through, start cycling up through to the highest in the land mm-hmm. to get reheard again. That's all that these are for.
Yeah. Georgia, Alabama, and now Missouri have all passed extreme abortion bans. With Georgia being like 40 years plus 10 if you help somebody leave the state to get an abortion. Alabama up to 99. And then Missouri, I think, 30 or 40.
I also see how they could get away with you help someone leave the state to get an abortion and it's a crime. That's just...
Yeah, that is way unconstitutional. But with the conservative-leaning court, if they get it up there, then... They have a shot at overturning Roe v. Wade, and that's really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's bad enough. Also, you know, we're looking at disenfranchisement of entire sects of people, you know, where if they think you've gotten pregnant or you've had a miscarriage and it's a murder, oh, well, guess what? We can imprison these women, take away their voting rights.
There was one I saw in there the other day. I forgot to put it in our topics chat, where basically some dude basically kidnapped a bunch of schoolgirls. It ended up, I think it was like two or three schoolgirls. Took them, I don't know if it was out of state or just to another city. Put them up in like a hotel room for a couple days. There was rape involved. One of the girls got pregnant. Now, 10 years later, he sued to get parental rights. And this is, he got like a 1 year, but they served like 6 months then. Then he went out and he reoffended with another teenager and got 4 years in jail for that. But now after both of this, he's now gotten parental rights to that child.
Which is insanely fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, and 4 years is really still just a slap on the wrist for raping somebody.
Well, don't get me wrong. That it's just after all that, and he still got parental fucking rights.
Yeah. I thought Shiva was going on the one where the guy kidnapped and raped 14-year-old and got nothing.
No, he got
parental rights. That was more recent.
That was another one. Then there was another guy who did all sorts of heinous shit to, like, his adopted daughter or whatever, and it was recommended that he get, like, 90 years, but the judge was like, oh, I think he's a good Christian, so they gave him, like, 12.
Fuck that.
Yeah, so we have
religion should have no place in judging.
How the fuck can you be a good Christian and do that to a child?
But we have this weird dichotomy where men are not getting punished anywhere near where they want to punish women who don't want to have the babies that have been raped into them. Like, there aren't exceptions for rape or incest.
Yeah, even in Alabama, the Senate, there were amendments proposed to make exceptions for rape and incest, and they were voted down. So the more reasonable senators had put forth amendments saying, hey, you know, these should be, you know, allowed to be aborted. And they were voted down with like 42 to 22 or something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, all those fuckers, if it was their daughter their niece or anything, they would quietly extradite them to another state. And, you know, it would all be done hush hush.
That actually happened to a sitting either congressperson or senator who was super, super anti-abortion. And then it turned out that he'd been cheating on his wife, and he'd gotten his mistress pregnant, and he had taken her somewhere to get an abortion. And he was like the super anti-abortion guy, and he ended up resigning when it came out.
It's rules for thee and not for me.
So yeah, you're totally right. These people would totally do that.
Like, there was another, like, Alabama one. I think it's Alabama one. It's super fucked up because it also mandates to, like, for ectopic pregnancies, they have to try to reimplant the embryo inside the uterus, and that's not how that fucking works.
Half the time when you get ectopic inside of the fallopian tube is gone. Like, it gets destroyed.
Well, not even that. The embryo, when it's implanted in the wall, builds this incredibly complex nest of blood vessels and shit. When it's in the uterine lining, there's all this stuff feeding. You can't just unplug it and plug it back into a different port. It doesn't work that way.
The human uterus is not a USB port.
Yeah, it's not like swapping out the cables on this thing where you just pick it up and plug it in a different one and wonder why the audio isn't working because I plugged the cord into the wrong hole, because that's totally what happened before this episode started. It's just bizarre how these people that know nothing of science and how biology works are still somehow feeling validated and mandated that they can control women.
Yeah.
And it's all men, but it's not women that are standing against it either, because the governor of Alabama who signed this shit is a woman, some old fucker.
Well,
who's so pro-life, she's presiding over her 7th execution so far.
Yeah. So props to the, what is, I think it's the LA Times that, it's Los Angeles Times. The headline on their newspaper was, Alabama's anti-abortion governor urges respect for life, comma, will oversee 7th execution.
It is finally good, though, to actually have somebody in political power making statements. Specifically, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who we stan, tweeting today, abortion bans aren't just about controlling women's bodies, they're about controlling women's sexuality, owning women. From limiting birth control to banning comprehensive sex education, U.S. religious fundamentalists are working hard to outlaw sex that falls outside their theology. And she's completely correct.
Yeah.
Like, the same rulings that helped make Roe versus Wade also helped decide the law that said it was legal for married couples to use contraception.
Wow.
like, that used to be against the law to use a condom as a married couple, which the is
fuck.
And you couldn't do it in the butt because that was illegal too.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone thinks those anti-sodomy laws were only against homosexuals, and that was maybe the primary reason, but that also applied to straight couples too.
The second tweet that she put on the topic was, ultimately, this is about women's power. When women are in control of their sexuality, it threatens a core element underpinning right-wing ideology, patriarchy. It's a brutal form of oppression to seize control of the one essential thing a person should command, their own body. And again, it's really nice to have somebody in political office stating this. Bernie Sanders was also like, yo, you know, access to abortion is a human right, etc. Like, Cory Booker was also out there saying stuff about it.
So something Bernie Sanders did was he sent out a campaign email where he asked for donations not to his campaign. He said, donate to these people. And he listed like two or three abortion rights groups in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Like, used his voice. I mean, politicians do not do this. Politicians don't send out mailing list things to their donors without a link to donate to them. But he was like, donate to these pro-choice groups in Alabama because they need help. So, you know, good on him for doing that, trying to get the word out about that. Another thing I wanted to point out, a take I had seen, which I agree with, was that as liberals, as leftists, and pro-choice people, we focus a lot on saying, what about incest? What about rape? People should be able to opt out of that pregnancy. But we shouldn't just focus on that, because there's really the bigger question is...
is it even our damn business?
It's none of our business if you're not the person involved, and that women should be able to have guilt-free, punishment-free sex with whoever they choose, you know, and not have that come back to send them to jail, you know, if something goes wrong. Because, I mean, condoms break, birth control isn't 100%, that fails. You know, and frankly, even if you're just fucking and you're not taking precautions, it's not the government's right to say what you should do if you end up pregnant.
Yeah.
That's up to the woman.
And her own conscience and her own, you know, religious beliefs.
Right. And that's the other thing, is that this is very much a religiously motivated thing. So you're pushing your religious beliefs onto every woman in the country. And that is not how this country is supposed to work. It kind of de facto works right now because of our gerrymandered, cheating voting system and our broken ass democracy. That's not constitutional. That's not the way this country is supposed to operate.
And they have polling data that shows that banning abortion has no more than like 25% support anywhere in the country. The vast majority of people are like, no, abortion should be, you know, safe, legal, and rare.
That's why another thing I want to point out, because I've been reading tweets from other people in the South, people in the rural South. You know, a lot of, like, John Scalzi stepped in it a little today by making a tweet saying, stop voting for these fucking politicians. And a lot of people rightfully pointed out that, like, we would like to. But thanks to the gerrymandering, thanks to trying to disenfranchise so many minority voters, you know, you could make every effort possible to vote for a not shitty politician and it won't count, or you won't be able to vote. And that's why a small minority of people are controlling the laws for everybody. Like, all of the shit that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is pro are all things that the majority of the population supports. People want unions. People want health care. Women want access to health care and to be able to make their own decisions. And it's something like 72% of the population overall is pro-choice. So the fact that every election comes down to damn close to 50-50 is not an actual accurate reflection of what people in this country actually believe. And you look on that map, and even the super red states, like Texas was like 62% pro-choice. But you see what our state government is doing.
Yeah.
You know, they're not accurately representing the views of Texans. So it is pissing me off when people are ragging on the South, or they're like, fuck Texas or fuck Alabama. You know, there is a high population of black and brown people in all of these southern states. All of these red states have more black and brown people than percentage wise than in the other states in the country.
Yeah. And they're all heavily disenfranchised for the gerrymandering, exactly. Like you said.
Yeah.
We have a government by the few for the few right now.
They do.
And it really pisses me off because no one else is going to save us but ourselves. And I don't know how we're going to do that.
It's something like 18% of people are controlling the rights of 100% of the people in the country.
Yeah. And so we've got this situation where every redneck old fucker is looking, and they're not conservative. These are educated conservative Christians who are dead set on enshrining their power while they're still alive, because we will very quickly forget them the moment they're dead.
Yeah.
And that can't come soon enough, because a lot of these guys are in their 70s and they're dead set on trying to keep things back in a 1950s mindset when, you know, it's 2019. So, you know, we have these guys champing at the bit to be the state that gets
their... makes their mark.
Is this safe to touch?
Should be.
Yeah, touch the little metal thing. It's not, yeah. It should be fine.
Huddle closer to the citronella flame.
I'm moving Shiva salmonella candles closer to me so that I don't get food poisoning.
Yes, that's very important. It's been really frustrating this week looking at the news and just being like, oh, yep, these guys did it. Yep, these guys did it two. Mm-hmm. Oh, these guys did it three. And, you know, this does all dovetail back to my thoughts the other week about how, you know, queer anything is the same, you know, same challenging the same hierarchies.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to, like, not disenfranchise, but they're trying to basically say our marriages don't count now.
For citizenship.
Yeah, there's been a couple of situations.
Out of wedlock, because it's a
same sex relationship.
So. And they've used like a
surrogate.
Yeah. And in some cases, if it's, you know, like in Canada in the surrogacy, it says it doesn't count because, well, it's an out of wedlock. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know you had to be married for, you know, birthright to count.
Also, the child was born in Canada.
Yeah, but they're basically saying that they're two American parents, like,
and you can't confirm
their birthright citizenship doesn't pass because they're a same-sex couple. So, like, because if you, like, adopt a child, you know, you're able to get them citizenship, and they want to make it so that same-sex couples can't do that, which is fucking scary, quite frankly. You know, if they start pushing through shit and they're like, because I've been legally married for 5 years now, you know, and the government fucking turns around and is like, your marriage doesn't count.
It's like, okay, you can get married and then we'll slowly chip away at what exactly you can do.
Yeah. Like, they'll want to give us like a, like, go back to like civil unions as being like a second class of marriage, you know, because we're not real people.
But yeah, like in this particular case, it was a Canadian surrogacy, which makes sense because, hey, in Canada, they take much better care of their pregnant citizens than the U.S. certainly does.
Yep.
But they're basically trying to say, well, you know, if the kid wasn't born in the U.S. and the person that they're married to isn't
married the person to the person
who had the kid, it doesn't count. And so this is a stateless baby. You're a baby that does not exist. You are not a Canadian citizen. You're not a U.S. citizen. Well, probably you'll just be a Canadian citizen, but that's still incredibly fucked up. But it is another one of those things where if they're not a straight heterosexual couple, then they're second class. They're fucked up. They're, you know,
yeah.
This is more of the Jesus. Jesus says this. Whether or not Jesus actually said shit about gay people, he didn't. But, you know, that's all Paul's fanfic. Fuck him.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, they joke about, oh, Sharia law, this thing, it's just God's law is what it's supposed to, it's just the translation of it, but they give it a, you know, the foreign Arab word, you know, it's just, you know, religious law. And that's all we have here in the U.S. We jokingly call them Y'al-Qaeda or whatever, but it's the same thing. Just because Franklin Graham isn't this big bearded mufti spitting out condemnations from a big, beautiful mosque, you know, he's shapping it from the pulpit of a mega church in an old stadium, there's no difference. He just doesn't have a big a beard or wear robes. He's got a suit that he bought that, you know, could feed a family for a month.
Frankly, I don't give a fuck if we actually had video of Jesus himself saying gays are evil, because that would still be like, if you're Christians, you have to follow that. But I'm not. That shouldn't apply to everybody in the country. You know, we don't have any evidence that Jesus actually existed. We certainly don't have any evidence that he said anything homophobic. But even if we literally had videotape of him saying something like that, I don't care. It doesn't affect me, and it shouldn't be enforced upon me as a resident of this country because I'm not Christian.
Yeah.
And right now, in the situation we're in, there's a lot of Christians that don't believe that. There's a lot of Christians that are not shitty people. So if you choose to be homophobic or bigoted or anti-women's choice in any way, that's a choice you're making. You are making a choice to believe in and follow a particular interpretation of Christianity. The other Christians don't follow, and they feel just as right and good and as fully faithed as you do, but that's a choice. If you're going to be a bigot, that's a choice you make.
So, to shift the topic back slightly, the Yellowhammer Fund is the group in Alabama that's helping women get abortion access. They accept donations. They try to cover some of the cash cost of the procedures. They help them with housing and lodging and transportation. Their website is yellowhammerfund.org. Yellowhammer Fund, those three words, .org. And there are networks around the country. Abortionfunds.org helps people on the national scale. Yellowhammer is specific to Alabama. I'm sure there are also groups in Georgia and Missouri that will similarly be needing assistance in the coming months. Ohio, Texas, generally anywhere, because everywhere is under threat right now. And Chapo Trap House, Chapo FYM is doing a 24-hour charity stream to raise money for Yellowhammer here on June 1st. The Share Zone admin put on a thing, is like, yo, donate money to them and we'll retweet you. They raised a couple grand that way too. And so, like, I mean, it sucks ass that it requires a crisis to get people to get their act together. But it is nice to see when people do get their act together, because like a couple weeks ago, I mentioned the Waypoint Radio Save Point stream that was raising money for Trans Lifeline. They raised more than $100,000 more than they did the previous year. And so $160,000 goes a long way, because that's $160,000 more they would have had otherwise. So, I mean, it's good to see that people that actually do give a damn are giving money and supporting it in that way. And, you know, bringing it to light on the show is another way we can spread the word. It sucks, but, you know, this isn't going to make abortion go away. People have been eating them fetuses since the Old Testament times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's other things you can do. You know, if you're a woman who risks, or a person with a uterus that is at risk of getting pregnant, get an IUD or an IED, you know, either way. Up there, you know, you can buy Plan B OTC. It's good for 4 years. You know, just go in, buy up some and keep it around, because people might need it if it becomes scarce in the next little while. I mean, there's all these ways that you can help people out that don't necessarily involve like directly going to clinics and volunteering as an escort. You know, but like having Plan B, helping people get IUDs and stuff like that. Because honestly, if they're going up against abortion, they're going against contraception, they're going up against voluntary sterilization for women, like the CDC's new conscience rules we discussed like 2 weeks ago also includes sterilization. as one of the things where people can't be punished for refusing to work on. And that includes tubal ligation or hysterectomies for women, where, you know, they try to stop women from having these because, oh, well, what if you want to get pregnant? And they try to override the person's wishes. Personal autonomy is like the peak thing here. And if men want to get vasectomies, they don't stop them. But women, no, clearly they just don't know what they're doing. And it's super fucked up that that's even a question. You know, if you don't want to have kids, make it, don't say that you don't have kids, and no medical anybody should stop you. But that's in an ideal world, you know. And
yeah,
this is a topic that sucks to talk about because people are so impassioned about it. But the bottom line is it's got to be up to the person who has the embryo inside them. Are they ready to carry this child? What are the circumstances around this? Did their boyfriend prick a hole in the condom in an effort to, quote, lock her in? You know, these are all stories that you see people talk about on Twitter. There's, if somebody wants a kid, cool, and they're working for it and they're, you know, ready for it, great. But if they're not, forcing someone to carry a baby to term that they don't want, can't afford, can't support, and are basically having their lives ruined over, you're only ruining two lives in that case.
Yeah.
You have a kid that is going to have a shitty life that isn't wanted or is wanted, but the mom can't afford it. It's much better to just not have a kid.
And it just shows that, like, they care about these embryos, but they don't care about the life of the adult human being that's carrying it. Pro-life is a fucking joke.
Forced birth is the, you know, more accurate nomenclature.
Yeah.
The other thing too, miscarriages happen all the damn time. Like 25% or something like that of pregnancies just don't work.
Yeah.
And they plan to try to prosecute women for this. So
it's ridiculous because, like, the whole act of contraception and pregnancy is like this real amazing thing that nature does. So the fact that it even happens at all is like a borderline miracle. And yeah, of course 25% of them just naturally don't work out, you know, or just the embryo is reabsorbed into the body. And that's nobody's fault. That shit just happens. And I can't believe they're trying to litigate that. It's just how bad this anti-science sort of sentiment has really taken root. And you see that with both climate change and with vaccination as well. You see people that there was a woman who tweeted something like, I gave birth to this baby. I know more about this child than any so-called doctor. So I'm not getting them vaccinated. And it's just like, Jesus, man. I mean, how many mountains of fucking evidence do we have, you know?
I just can't believe the head in the sand stuff that we're... Sigh is the only thing I can say. It's just...
Sigh. Yeah. Well, and like Biden pissed me off recently. He said something in a speech about his position on climate change is... It's like...
Middle of the road.
Middle of the road. Yeah. And it's like, bitch, you're 76. You can be middle of the road about climate change because you'll probably be dead of old age by the time the planet becomes uninhabitable or really dangerous to live on. It's the people like my niece and your niece that have to grow up in this world for over the next 100 years, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're the ones that are going to have to live in whatever is left after people like Biden and Trump are long gone. Yeah. And if Biden becomes the eventual Democratic nominee, I will support him. Because he's better than the alternative. But right now, he's definitely not my top pick.
The whole thing, like, Bill Nye actually did this little 2-minute clip or whatever.
Yeah, he did it on Last Week Tonight.
The planet's on fucking fire. Do it. You know, you got to do something about this. And the biggest takeaway some of these conservative dipshits had was...
Bill Nye said fuck.
He said the F word. Oh my God, I can't take you seriously. To which people are like, go fuck yourself.
I love people that get so fucking uptight about, ooh, you said a swear. That automatically means all your points and education and life dedicated to science and knowing about this shit doesn't, the rest of your valid points don't count now because you said fuck.
Because of civility. Well, we don't have time for that. Yeah. You need to get your act together.
We tried being civil, and look what it's gotten us. Absolutely nowhere.
And that was just a goofy side thing, where it's like he did this very impassioned plea, and all these blue check marks on Twitter are just like, oh, you said a swear. Like, how dare you drop an F-bomb on cable television?
You fragile little snowflake.
You know, my children could have been watching. Well, your children are going to be the ones that are going to be dealing with the planet you're leaving behind.
Yeah, number one, it affects your children more than it affects you. And number two, it's on Last Week Tonight. It is a swear-heavy political show.
On HBO.
On HBO. You're not fucking watching this with your kids anyway. You have to go out of your way to see this.
Besides, your kids know that word anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've heard it on their Fortnite streams. It's okay.
Yeah. FYI, your kids already know all about swearing and sex.
Yeah. I mean, I was in like...
Except they know all the bad things about sex. They grow up thinking that it's just what you see in the porns that they check out on Pornhub at 10 o'clock at night when their parents are in bed.
You know, kids
because
these
we don't
days.
Have fucking proper... sexual education in schools.
You know, kids these days have it so much easier. I had to go to the porn log in the woods. Yeah. Or the
tap that tree. Get the porn syrup.
I'm not even joking.
Porn syrup.
I had a couple friends growing up. Yeah, I had a friend that lived in Cleburne that he had, you know, stolen some of his dad's porn mags and a tape on a VHS tape. But then also, like, you know, there literally was a porn log on my parents' church's property. And I found it one time. And it was in, like, a plastic bag. And it was this ratty-ass old porn mag. But nowadays, you just go to the internet.
Can we make a new tradition where when you get your first pube, you put it under your pillow and Larry Flint comes in the night and leaves a hustler under your pillow?
All right, kid, here's your sexual education.
And notice you also lost a tooth. So the tooth fairy came with me. Here's a quarter.
Ah, June bug attack.
Oh, okay. All right. When I see a flying thing that large, my fucking hind brain automatically goes wasp and freaks out.
Or it's cicada or cockroach.
Well,
cicadas are just awful. And cockroaches, they have spiky little legs.
I like cicadas.
They're the big water bugs.
Palmetto bugs are worse.
Yeah, the palmetto bugs. Yeah. Ugh. God.
Hey, I lived in Florida a long time. Those things are no fucking joke.
All right. Well, let's steer the topics back towards nicer things. We're already at like 47 minutes on
Detective
just
Pikachu.
This main topic. Well, we have Detective Pikachu, but also an Asian Nazi was sentenced to 97 months in federal prison.
Oh, I was hoping you would say 97 years, but
I know,
anyway,
right?
Tell me all about this Asian Nazi.
So, this is a weird story. The man known as in the area as the Asian Nazi on social media has been sentenced to more than 8 years in federal prison for federal firearms violations in order to surrender to immigration officials for deportation after serving his sentence, according to a news release from the U.S. District Court of the Eastern District of Texas. Han Hank Jong-Yu, 25, of Tyler, was found guilty in November on 7 counts of false statements made in connection with firearms transactions and 1 count of unlawful possession of a firearm by a prohibited person. Yu is a lawful permanent resident from South Korea, according to information present in court. He began representing himself in court, where he filed hundreds of handwritten motions and other submissions to appeal his detention, have his seized property returned, have a new standby attorney appointed to him, seek pretrial release, dismiss the case, request bail, claim the U.S. attorney and law enforcement officials were incompetent and showed malice, and to seek a change of venue for his trial to Houston instead of East Texas. In a sentencing memorandum, the U.S. district attorney said 97 months. Basically, this guy is a fast YouTuber who was appearing and doing stuff like singing Dixie in a Confederate uniform holding a sword, and he had like the SNCC flag and the Kekistan flag and all this other nonsense. He was this alt-right dumbass who faked his way into getting a gun, and the FBI found out. And then when they finally raided him, he had a lot of guns, like 14 of them, I think. And so he went to prison and is going to prison, and then he's getting banned from the country. Basically, he lied his way into getting a fraudulent concealed carry license, and then the Texas Department of Public Safety actually revoked his handgun license when he showed an inability to exercise sound judgment with respect to the proper use of a handgun.
Oh my God.
He then went on to use the revoked permit 2 more
How
times to purchase guns.
Bad do you have to fuck up your ability to use a gun for
Texas.
For Texas to be like, we can't trust you with a gun and revoke your fucking firearms permit. Jesus Christ. I mean, they make jokes about, you know, you come into Texas, you get your fucking Talon gown hat and your six shooter.
They issue a horse at the border.
Yeah. The other thing that gets me about this, and if I'm wrong on any of these facts, you can cut this part out. But Nazis, World War II, right? When you were like the Asian Nazi, I'm thinking this motherfucker better be Japanese. And then you're like, he's South Korean. And I'm like, are you shitting me? He's the last Asian country that should be pro-Nazi after the absolute horrors and war crimes that Japan visited upon Korea in World War II.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you guys know about the comfort women and all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And the fact that they refused to take responsibility until like the last decade or so.
I mean, so just the fact a Korean Nazi is just, you know, insert Carl Sagan mind blown gif here.
Yeah. But yeah, you often give prominent placement to Nazi, alt-right, and Confederate imagery in his videos. He's become popular for videos ranting against the Black Lives Matter movement in a video titled Sieg Heil's Taylor Swift.
What?
He is being held without bond in the Gregg County Jail. A South Korean pro-Confederate Nazi boy with 14 guns getting to prison for 97 months and then being deported. Like, what the hell? I mean, again, like you said, this guy was too reckless with guns for Texas.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, boy, hey, walk across the border. Like I said, here's your six shooter and 10-gallon hat. Don't shoot too many bullets in the air.
Yeah. You've reached your quota. Stop.
You know, oh, two bullets, that's it. You know, save your bullets for shooting varmints.
But yeah, because legit, fucking farmers in rural Texas, you need to shoot varmints.
Yeah, I mean, coyotes attacking livestock and the like. Shooting rabbits for eating. Squirrels for eating. Other critters for eating. Possums, not for eating. Don't shoot possums, they're cute.
And they eat ticks.
Yeah. Those are always nice to have.
Ticks?
No, possums that eat the ticks.
Oh, okay.
I've got a couple that live at the complex.
Okay.
In addition,
do you scream at them? Do you have like a fennec possum screaming solidarity?
It was funny one time that I was out walking Adam late at night, and there was the possum was out and about, but it saw him and then like clambered halfway up a tree and just stared at us with its mouth open, going. Yeah, like I am big and scary, and Adam just kind of looked at it and wagged. He like barked a little, but then
I want to play with the weird tree dog.
But when we're driving with Bo in the car, and we happen to go past some cows, because for whatever reason, there's a bunch of longhorns at the corner of Rosemead and the Bush. There's just like this random pasture with cows.
Yeah.
So occasionally, when we're taking him to a dog park, we'll come off that exit, and there'll be sometimes by the fence, and he's just like, big cow, big dog.
What it's is like, this? Hypo.
Hamburger dog? Well, and he's just like, what's that?
I have a feeling that dogs operate on the same principle as that lazy artist's guide to drawing furries, where every animal is just a different type of dog.
Yeah. Well, like, we have these
snakes or little slither dogs.
Patchwork land use here. Like, yeah. By the Addison Airport post office, there is a tiny little pasture that couldn't fit much more than, like, a Quick Trip gas station. But there's occasionally longhorns there.
For some reason.
Longhorns and horses up off Tennyson and the DNT. There's actually the Burger King, like the corner of Marsh and the Bush right
yeah,
there.
There's this tiny horses. Little
square. Well, there's horses there next to the apartment complex and the Burger King.
This is what happens when you have an area like Dallas that just keeps growing and growing and growing. Further out is at a point you hit farmland.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you have a Walmart right next door to a cow pasture or something.
Well, in East Plano near 75 and Parker, I think it is, there's this big pasture land, like three big chunks of pasture, which are owned by this family. They've got longhorns and horses and alpacas.
Oh, the alpaca ranch. Because you go up.
And it's in the middle of extremely suburban Plano.
And then suddenly llamas.
But they're just like, yeah, this is our land. It's our family land. We're keeping it.
Right. So like right in the middle of a bustling community.
Yeah, alpacas and stuff.
Yeah, it's like McDonald's,
houses, blah, blah, alpacas. Houses. More.
So
my only concern about that is you have to make damn sure your fencing is like 150% solid, because you don't want an alpaca to like wander in the marsh lane, you know?
So I'm on fucking Reddit, the Dallas Reddit, and someone is like, I witnessed this basically red light slash accident today. And, you know, so they show someone basically running a red light and smashing into someone, except I look past him. It's like, wait a minute, that's the alpaca farm on that. I know exactly where that corner is.
Yeah. I do love living here.
Speaking of wildlife, though, we also have a fox.
Yeah, I saw on Wolger's porch.
Yeah, on his back porch. But the other night it was out and about. It was screaming at like 3 a.m. And I thought it was like a smaller dog getting eaten by a bigger dog. So I came outside with like my baseball bat ready to smack, you know, to break up a dog fight.
And it's just make
a fox just screaming.
Yeah, that's their mating call.
Yeah, horny it's fox.
Not, yeah, and it okay. sounds like something's dying or getting killed. It's god awful.
But, you know, because we have that big forested area by the creek down there, the big field behind the complex, it makes sense for there to be a fox. I mean, I've seen lizards and bunnies and possums and everything else. We got our own little miniature red wall.
What I'm great at is the fact that it's a swift fox and not your standard red foxes. Because
yeah.
they have red mm-hmm. fox in this area. I've never seen a swift fox down here.
Yeah, but they're apparently really far east of their normal range.
I saw your video of you walking around with the flashlight, like following the fox.
Oh, yeah. Let me send you the picture from Wolger's porch.
Like, I didn't post a video because it was, you know, me walking out of my apartment.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen this really cute video of a red fox getting belly rubs, and it's just making this really weird squealing, trilling like yeah. it's happy, but it still is weird screech fox sound.
Yeah.
That's from Wolger's porch on the other end of Saverin's building.
It's like, oh, hey, okay. you cool. got any egg?
Yeah. Hey, there's a tiny little fox on my catio. Because he lets his babies go out there in like that little like tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fox. Why is there a fox on my patio?
So now we're going to shift into the other important topic of the week.
Detective Pikachu?
Detective Pikachu.
Okay, so all three of us have seen it. So, I mean, you might want to skip a bit if you haven't seen it. Are we doing spoilers or not?
I mean, it's not.
We shouldn't really spoil it because it only came out last week.
Okay, let's not spoil any major plot points.
We can be like, oh my god, I love the Pokemon.
I fucking love that movie.
I like the humor in it. I mean, it was just cute.
Pikachu said, damn, and hell. Oh my god, a Pokemon can swear?
You know what's funny is that, so I've seen three of the big quote-unquote movies this year. Saw Captain Marvel back in February?
Yeah.
Was that? Yeah. Saw Endgame, saw Detective Pikachu.
And we got tickets for Keanu Reeves' movie.
John Wick 3?
Yeah, we got that for Sunday.
Okay, cool. So I saw Endgame, and it was good. And I enjoyed it, and there was a lot going on. You know, there's some parts I didn't like. A lot of parts I did. Felt like it was a satisfactory conclusion to this chapter of the MCU.
I was very satisfied.
But on the other hand, Detective Pikachu was just pure joy. Like, I think on balance, I enjoyed Detective Pikachu more than Endgame.
I wouldn't go that far, but
I totally would. Just because I walked out of that movie just feeling so fucking happy.
It was super cute.
It was cute to finish. It was funny. They built this amazing world.
I want to go live in Rhyme City.
Yeah, totally.
So I wasn't planning. I was on the fence about seeing it. I was kind of like, I could go either way. I wasn't. Ryan Reynolds was a strong pull. But I've got very little faith in video game movies, and I thought it would just be a shit fest. So I was really like, could give or take. Well, our friends Storm and Miz said, hey, kids down at my parents for the weekend, you want to go out and see? It's like, sure, you guys asked. I don't get to see you guys much.
That's hilarious. Kids out of town, let's go see a kid's movie.
Well, he's like 2 years old, so.
Oh, okay.
He's still a little young for theater. Right. And I went in there with low expectations, like low to no expectations. I was mostly doing this to spend time with friends. And so going into it with low expectations, it was great. I mean, I loved it. Right. So I can't say anything bad that way about it because it blew my expectations away.
Cool.
Like, I also really liked the fact, like, you know, it had Bill Nighy in it. It had all these various people, but also had Karan Soni, who plays Dipinder in the Deadpool movies.
Yes.
He was the buddy trying to get the main character to catch the Cubone.
Yes.
He's like, he's sad and depressed and lonely, just like you.
And like, when I saw that movie, I was like, I fucking recognize that actor. I know I've seen him in something before. But I don't know what.
What's going on? I leaned over to Dave and went, is that Dipinder from Deadpool? And he's like, yeah. I was like, huh.
And then it was your Ajax pointed out that was the same actor from the Deadpool movies. And I was like, you're right. That's where I've seen him before.
I mean, he's only in like the first part of the film, like introducing Tim.
But it's a nice kind of callback to Deadpool, too.
Yeah, and I'm sure that was 100% Ryan Reynolds being like, no, get my buddy in here.
Yeah, probably.
But like it establishes the world, like the opening shots where it's just like this pastoral scene and then there's Pokemon in the world, like they're at this rural town, there's Pidgey flying around, there's Tauros in the cow fields because there aren't cows, there's Tauros.
Yeah,
you know, they do a really good job of putting Pokemon, because Pokemon are the animals in that world, there right, aren't cows. Yeah. Like if they eat a hamburger, they're eating a Tauros burger. There are Pokemon that are raised to eat. You know, where do you get that milk? Well, it's from a milk tank. You know, those big titty nipples.
No, we don't grind them up. We milk them.
Yeah, exactly. They do this fantastic job of establishing the world before they get to the city.
Yeah. Like,
they show the train and they do the lore drop that Rise City is its own separate area. It's not in any of the established regions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has different roles. There's no gyms. Pokemon fighting is like not allowed. And there's no Pokeballs. You don't keep your Pokemon in Pokeballs. You have a companion Pokemon and it walks around with you and helps you with your everyday life.
Yeah.
And so the movie is just so full of so many Pokemon.
I really like Psyduck.
Yeah. Psyduck.
Psyduck's a great little character. The other thing that I want to point out that like something to watch out for is that there are actual callbacks and links to Pokemon 1. Like, it is established that this movie takes place in the same world as the rest of the Pokemon series.
Well, apparently, and Sarah pointed this out to me, the guy with the Charizard was actually one of the gym, or no, he had the Gengar Kojo or Koga. Something like
yeah.
Kogo, was a gym leader from the Spirit Gym. In the original. So cool. That was a nice little callback.
And like the video at the opening where it's like the talking about the trainers battling.
Yeah.
And there's the dude in all red throwing out a ball, out busts his like a Blastoise or whatever versus the other person. Mm-hmm. Like that's supposed to be Red, the main character from Pokemon Red and Blue.
Nice.
Who shows up in later games.
Like the people that made this movie actually did faithful callbacks to the Pokemon consultants. World. And like, I just love the, like, and the whole singing the fucking Pokemon song.
Yes. He's so sad and he's just,
There's also references to both Home Alone and Basic Instinct.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So those things exist in this world.
When they're interrogating the Mr. Mime.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And where is the Home Alone thing?
It is the old black and white movie playing in his dad's apartment.
Yeah. Which that movie is not from an actual movie. It was
made for Home Alone.
And yeah. I was like, oh my God, I recognize that.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it at the time. But a lot of people reacted to that and I missed it, but I found out later.
Sarah's having a moment inside.
I was like, there's dog noises coming from your house.
Yeah.
But Bo is right there.
No, it's, I don't know.
It's the other dog.
Yes.
It's the husky.
But, like, the facial expressions on the Pokemon and the way that the Pokemon are interacting with the world, like in that street scene Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. when their guy's cooking in a wok, he's using the flame from his Charmander's tail, and it's helping yeah. him out. The artillery is handing out drinks.
It's like, just so good. I want to see it again because there is so much stuff
going
happening
on
in the background. And like, especially when you have that big camera panning over the busy street, there's all the signs of different Pokemon related stores and businesses and all these different Pokemon, and I want to see the movie again because there's so much just detail.
Just to watch the background.
It's definitely yeah. one we'll be having to get the Blu-ray on.
Absolutely.
Because
yeah. like, there's just so much going on in it.
Tim's dad lives in the Oak Apartments.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
There's all these various brands and stuff, logos from various groups in the game.
Mm-hmm. It's just sad that no Team Rocket.
You know, there's a sequel already planned, so who knows, you know?
Yeah, I was really hoping to see Jesse and James.
They also mentioned, like, you mentioned, like, they're set in the same Pokemon world, where, like, they mentioned 20 years ago was when Mewtwo escaped the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And dropping the fact that Mewtwo is in the film, it was in the trailers, so
right.
you know, not a
yeah.
spoiler.
But 20 years ago was the first Pokemon movie.
Yeah, so...
Which means that, like, Ash and crew are probably in their, like, mid-30s in this
yeah. world.
You don't see them, but they exist in this world, so...
Yeah. Jesse and James are in their mid-30s. They're middle managers at some development thing, you know. Their Ekans is acting as like a cup holder, and the Weezing is, you know, an air not anti-freshener, you know. It floats around the office holding papers in its mouth and just Weezing and drops them into your lap.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I just got the
those parts
of,
were making up
yeah. I really wish that there'd been more Eevees in the film. Like, mm-hmm. you only get to see one Eevee that then evolves into a Flareon and then fucks off.
Yeah.
That's it. I was like, obviously in this city, this region, they've got a crapload of Sneasel, they've got a crapload of Arcanine, mm-hmm. and a bunch of, like, Treecko.
Something you pointed out, too, is that you can really see, like, what the relative sizes are of the different Pokemon when you, like, you see, like, a Growlithe walk past somebody. You see how tall they are against the humans that are
and
around
an Arcanine
them
as well.
Yeah.
Like, an Arcanine at the head is, like, 6 feet tall because there's a couple scenes where one's walking beside its human and it's as tall as they are at the head. It's wild.
This big, floofy doggo.
Yeah, and, like, the police dogs are Arcanine and
so
Growlithe.
I found out what the dog noises are from the room behind us.
Oh.
So if you say Alexa meow, she will meow back at you. And there are 10 standard meows. But for the expanded meow pack, you can have up to 45 meows. As a Prime member, you could save 20 cents. The price is 80 cents. Do you want to buy? Dave. Yes. Sarah. Dave, no. And apparently one of the kittens is in there for the meows, and he is upset that there are meows going from the Alexa.
Aww.
That's what the...
You have upset the cat.
There's an expanded pack of 45 meows.
That's hilarious.
Spend a dollar. The Alexa Meow DLC. But yeah, the movie itself was super cute. The Pokemon expressions were really good. Like,
yes.
They made Pikachu extremely expressive. Because, you know, in the anime, it just has a little black beady eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because, you know, it's like a dog. You know, if you're looking at you straight on, mm-hmm. you don't see the whites. But in scenes where Pikachu is, like, distressed or looking, you can see the whites of its eyes, and it's like, oh no! When Psyduck is like, yo,
yeah.
massage my feet, and he's, like, looking at him.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
I loved somebody screen capped, like, when your Uber driver makes a wrong turn, and it's two shots of Pikachu, kind of, he's in that kid's seat, and he's kind of sadly looking out the window.
Looking more concerned. And yes, Pikachu in a baby car seat is adorable. Mm-hmm. Also, that car is incredibly small. How does it exist?
Oh my god, yes, it's tiny.
So, I loved it. Three thumbs.
You borrowed a thumb from somebody.
I borrowed a thumb just to give it a third thumb.
Right.
And I will get it on Blu-ray, and I will watch it on the projector, and I will be like,
I give it two dew claws up.
Yes. And man, like, the action scenes at the end of the film are really good. Everything just kind of comes together. I mean, it's not a perfect film, but it has a 65 on Rotten Tomatoes after like 250 reviews. So it's like still the highest rated anime or video game movie ever, I think.
I mean, it was really good for a video game movie. We don't get good video game movies.
I mean, it's not because it's not based on like a video game. I mean, Detective Pikachu was a game.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they changed the story around and modified it. Like the only like Rhyme City, I think, is a setting in the game, but they had an established universe, but it wasn't like, okay, we have to follow all the beats of this game or try to make up a plot like in Dead or Alive or make it vaguely follow a video game like in Tomb Raider.
So here's the thing, because you both said that it was a video game movie, and like me not being a video game person, I just looked upon it as a live action version of the animated series. In the animated movies. So to me, it was just like, this is another Pokemon film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's like, there's been a really, if you consider it a live action anime, like it is even higher up on the list because, you know, there haven't been really good live action anime things in the West.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there was an Attack on Titan film, which butchered this setting. There was the Dragon Ball movie.
Oh God, there was a Dragon Ball movie?
Yeah. Dragon Ball Evolution.
I mean, the last one I heard about was like Ghost in the Shell, which didn't.
And Alita Battle Angel. I don't know how good that
was. Actually, Alita Battle Angel, apparently that was pretty cool and highly rated, but.
We should check that out sometime because I haven't seen the anime, but it kind of looks like a kind of cyberpunk sort of thing that I enjoy.
I mean, and it's out on disc, so I'm sure we can find it somewhere.
Yeah.
In terms of an anime movie in the West, it's super high up there.
Good.
As a Western produced anime game movie.
I also will also mention the really bad editorial decision discussing the box office. It said Avengers Endgame beats off Detective Pikachu because Endgame remained the number one film the week later when Detective Pikachu. And it's like, do you really want to phrase it that way?
It's like, well, I mean, if you want to, I don't think, you know.
Pika, pika.
I have the voice of an adult man and the desires of one. You know, giving Pikachu a hand job to keep your top spot. I mean, whatever works, y'all.
Right, yeah. I'm sure the Pokemon would not mind.
I don't think you need a full hand for that. Maybe two fingers.
Anyways.
So, but one thing you have to watch out for is you better step back during the cum shots. I'm pretty sure it involves electricity.
Yeah. If you're not a fan of E-STEM, step back. And if you are, well, congratulations, you got the right Pokemon. Yeah. Anyways, so now that we've kind of balanced out this episode and about half and half discussing the horrors of our country and then also Pokemon, we have our final segment, which is going to be Regal's Con Report from FWA. None of us here were able to go, so let's hear what they had to say about this weekend. Okay. They emailed us at southpawscast@gmail.com. Also, you can send us anon questions via our Tumblr while it's still there, before Verizon shuts it down or whatever, at southpawscast.tumblr.com. So, FWA Con Report. Greetings, fuzzballs. Regal here with Con Report for Furry Weekend Atlanta 2019. This is my second convention ever, the first one being FWA 2018, so I technically have something to compare it to now. While last year's registration line was LineCon Mini to MFF's LineCon Mega, this time around registration line was buttery goddamn smooth all weekend long. I personally got through in less than 10 minutes, and the longest wait I'd heard of was 30. I don't know what they did to mix up their strategy from last year, but suffice it to say, it worked.
You know, one thing they did, just to interject, I don't know if they did this last year, but this year they did a thing where when you registered, it created a barcode, and if you had the FWA app, you could pull up the barcode on the app, or you could print it out, and they would basically just scan the barcode, and it would bring up all your information for them. So imagine that probably sped things up quite a bit.
This year, they kept the armband NFC badges from last year, which I promptly modified to send folks to my FA gallery when scanned with a phone. Technical bit, when you scan those at an event, they're only looking for an RFID to match against your registration ID. The scanners don't care at all what else is on the NFC tag, so feel free to play with it as you see fit. That said, I noticed staff was a bit more lenient this year and left the band looser than before. Also worth noting, as pointed out to me by a member of staff, if you attend FWA 2020 and they're still using those bands, if you have a problem with them, talk to the staff and they will accommodate. If it's too tight, ask a member of staff and they will loosen it. If you have any skin condition, ask a member of staff and they will work with you to provide an alternative. TLDR, talk to staff if you've got an issue. They are there to help. Also, the scanners were better this year than last. Their range was significantly improved. That was another big point of contention. Last year, the scanners sucked ass, so there would be lines where just regular people were having trouble, and then fursuiters were having an even worse time.
Yeah.
There's that classic gif of the person in the big fur, big monster suit just trying to boop in, and it's not working.
Yeah, yeah.
because that person didn't have removable paws on their suit. And their band was on their wrist, and they were trying to scan through layer of carpet, essentially. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe that feedback gave them pause for concern.
The first 2 days, I spent mostly in the artist alley attempting to sling commissions with little success. All this taught me was that I have improvements to make on not only my presentation, but how I do line art. I was looking for a reason to properly study art again, and I found that. That said, no hard feelings there despite getting passed over countless times. It's all groovy. I also got to meet the creator of Fun, the con mascot of last year. I got to show her the fan art I drew of them, and in return she showed me some unreleased concept art for the character, which was extra neato. The game room had Tokyo Attack visiting. Ah, that's it. So there were many Japanese arcade cabinets present, including 2 Chunithem cabinets that were the only 2 cabinets of that type in the entire U.S. due to licensing bullshittery. So that was neato. I will say, Saverin is a bit more hardcore than the game room staff was this year, as their copies of Smash Ultimate Mario Kart 8 both had absolutely nothing unlocked whatsoever, which was a bummer. Also cost me the Mario Kart 8 tournament this year because the bike I always use when playing that game wasn't unlocked. But that's a petty gripe, and I should know what other bikes tear shafts my preferred one if I'm going to compete even semi-seriously. Homeless activity was up from last year. I didn't get bothered personally, but some of my friends did a couple times. There were also rumors that a staffer had to defend a congoer late one night from a belligerent drunk and suffered a cut on his nose as a result. Pro tip, it's Atlanta, Georgia. Do not go out at night. It is a stab town.
That was in all caps, by the way.
Yes, all caps. Do not go out at night. It is stab town. Which is true, because honestly, if you're going out by yourself, you are inviting trouble. Anytime that I went out in the evenings, it was always with a group of people.
Which... honestly, good advice for any large city.
Yeah, I mean, any city, like at my Your First Con panel at Fiesta this year, I included that. It's like, look, if you're going to go out, go in a group, just because this is a city that you're not familiar with.
Yeah, especially when it's like a big event that brings in a lot of people from out of town. People with bad intentions know that, so it's a good idea to go out in a group in any city, even one you're familiar with, like in here in Dallas.
The crickets have opinions.
They do.
Other than that, everything was pretty groovy. The theme of pirates was fun. I missed the voice acting panel hosted by the VA for Revali from The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild because I completely forgot he was there. I was turbo bummed when I realized it, though. I love voice actors. He was also in Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, and apparently he's a furry, because I saw him tweeting that he was in this and that, and he played these characters in Detective Pikachu, and I'm like, that's fucking cool.
Yeah,
that's
like the VO for like the train station and stuff. He was just voiceover. He was additional voices, but he was in the movie, which is cool.
He tweeted a picture of the credits where he circled his name and Sean Chiplock, I think it was section.
The scavenger hunt was great. If you scan QR codes hidden throughout the con space, you could get yourself a key/bottle opener made of pewter, bronze, silver, or gold chosen at random that may or may not come in handy with next year's theme, which is
it's in the email.
All in all, I had a blast. This year was definitely better than last year, even though I enjoyed FWA 2018 quite a bit. Next year, I have my sights on God-level sponsorship because, yes, oh, and by the way, next year's theme is Enchanted Forest. Okay. Hope you've enjoyed this wall of text. I look forward to hopefully attending Megaplex later this year if money works in my favor. Artistically yours, Regal T. Boggart. Well, thank you for writing in, because we missed out this year, and it seems like it was pretty good. I mean, I don't know how the attendance was, but, you know, you said that
Planet did okay. It was like it was close to last year. It was a little more than last year. They didn't really have growth, but that's because this weekend is BLFC.
Yeah.
And it's not that one is better than the other. It's just that 2 5-6,000 person furry cons are one weekend apart.
That's a lot of money to pull out of people's pockets.
And there are some people that are doing both.
So I know Rukus is a dealer at both. She's flying to BLFC though. But props to the one dude I saw tweet who is a dealer. He works for one of the soap companies. It's not Contact Caffeine, it's another one. and they were a dealer at FWA, and they are driving cross-country to BLFC. And, like, they tweeted the picture of, like, the route on, I guess, Google Maps or Apple Maps or something like that. And I'm like, that is a hella long road trip from Atlanta, Georgia to Reno, Nevada. But that's pretty cool.
Hey, they're hardcore. I mean, like, I think Brayburn also posted a tweet about it, like, FWA, one day in the middle, BLFC.
Yeah, and the one day in the middle was just, like, screaming or something like that, because it's, like, just got home, have to prepare for a whole other convention. And, like, that's the thing. When cons like that are back-to-back for dealers that try to hit all the big cons, it really is a bit of a strain, because you've got to guesstimate all your stock for two cons in a row. And if you sell out of something at the first one, even if you're making them itself yourself at home, like if you're making badges or buttons or something like that, like to restock in time to leave for the next one, that's a lot of work. And in our case, where like we use print on demand company to make our books. If we take a new book to FWA and sell out, if we'd been going to BLFC this year, we wouldn't have time to turn around to reorder that quickly. Or we'd have to pay extra for the shipping and have it shipped directly to BLFC, because it wouldn't arrive here at home in time for us to get it out there. So that's a toughie. That's another thing with dealing. It's that can be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, but I'm glad that it went well. And
I didn't see too much bitching on Twitter or people. The wristband complaints were way down over last year, so I guess they did make some real improvements in how those scanned. I mean, feel free to write in and correct me if you had a different experience. But overall, just scrolling through my Twitter feed, I wasn't paying that close attention all weekend, but I didn't see too many bad takes, I guess. You know, people seem to be having a good time. So it sounds like it went pretty well.
You know, I think the increased range on the wristband scanners probably helped a lot, too. Yeah. Because you didn't have to, like, literally hit your wrist against the little thing to make it register. Because sometimes that happened and it was a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
But the question of how did FWA have such a nice game room? They had fucking Tokyo Attack, which is based out of the Southeast, bringing in their arcade machines. So that's how they got access to a $20,000 Dance Rush Stardom machine.
Oh, okay.
I was like, how did they do this? How do these fuckers do this? Oh, they got an outside company to do it. Oh, Sable, give me budget.
So. Yeah, because I'm sure there's a company in Dallas or around this area that does a similar thing.
Yeah, but the fact that they had an outside group do it, because they'd always had a baller game room, you know, and I would love to have a room that's like half as big and as cool as theirs, but like,
and honestly, it makes sense, because that way a con staff doesn't have to keep up with every new console that comes out every couple of years, and every time a new generation comes out, you have to buy a new Wii, a new Xbox, and a new PlayStation. And you know, you just hire a company that buys that shit in bulk.
And does it, yeah.
And has all that equipment.
You mean they didn't have one poor guy spend 20 plus hours unlocking everything in Smash Brothers Ultimate? Wow. I put my hands on my face there. You didn't hear the slap. But anyways, so that's cool. If you guys want to write in and throw words at us, again, you contact us at southpawscast@gmail.com. You can contact us again on... Fuck this cricket. Jesus. It's going to show up in the audio and I can't do anything about it.
Yeah. It's outdoors and it's 78 here at a little after 10 o'clock at night. So summer is starting to kind of creep its way in. Like last time we recorded out here, I was getting too cold by the end of the recording with my hoodie. And tonight it's like it's super nice. But yep, the crickets are out late.
You know? It'll start being like 90 at night and we'll be back inside before too long. But anyways,
go enjoy patio while we can.
So just going to wrap up the show because we're already at like an hour and a half almost on the raw audio. So you can find the show on Twitter. Yay, we've been freed from the sin bin at South Pawscast. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/southpawscast. You can find me personally on Twitter, at Saverin Drake. You can find me on Mastodon at snouts.online at Saverin. On Twitch at Saverin. That's really it. If you are a patron, I posted the updated link to the fan chat after it started getting bots showing up in, so I had to revoke the put code and rejoin it.
Mm-hmm.
Still have, you know, 100-something plus people in there. It's very active from time to time.
Enjoy the porn flood.
And it's a heavily moderated chat, so, you know, there is no crypto fash here. We take care of that shit. So, Fuzz, Shiva, where can people find you?
So you can find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. You can also support what I do in furry publishing by going to furplanet.com and or baddogbooks.com.
Did you resolve the website issue?
Everything is back up and running now. We've actually added a bunch of new products to furplanet.com fairly recently. There's another small press in the fandom called Goal Publications. They're based out of Connecticut. We've had some of their books before, but I've added a whole bunch of newer stuff that they've released, so, you know, feel free to check that out. They're doing a neat little line of books called Pocket Shots that are very tiny. They measure, I think, 4x6. They're novellas, but they're only like one of them is 450 and one of them is 650. And on Bad Dog Books, the ebooks of those are only $2 each. So if you want, like, a little short read to maybe try out a new author or dip your toe into some furry fiction, then those are a good thing to grab. And, hey, I was like, hey, if it was Christmas, they'd make a great stocking stuffer. So yeah, check out my site. So I am brought to you by books.
Put a reminder in to revisit this in November.
Yeah. And I'm sure it'll be, right now they have 3 pocket shots out. I'm sure it'll have more by then. So Shiva, on to you. Telegram.
Just Telegram, Chimera, KHYMAERA. I'm in the fan chat, so that's the best place to find me.
All right, well,
I do want to throw out that Saverin's picture just reminded me of a silly joke that I saw on Twitter. Is 5 guys, Thanos snap, 2.5 men.
Nice. The particular image that I just showed Fuzz was Firehouse Subs, the 5 good Arcanine suits, that, like the FWA, and they're all standing there pointing at the sign, and there's a normal person behind them in the background looking very perturbed.
Oh, that's funny.
So, that is fun. That's going to wrap it up for this week, guys. Thanks for listening. So, good night.
And big book.